Welcome to Marvel.
Oh, hey there. Welcome into the show. Little Midsummer Night's Dream episode of the podcast. Basically, your boy is chomping at the bit to get going, to dive in to the analytics of fantasy football. And there's nothing for me to dive into right now because OTAs are over. Mini camp hasn't started yet. So all I have is mock drafts and, you know, that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. You know, why it's hard to do a mock draft, as I alluded to in our chat. Also, I have a nice little story time for everybody. This is not going to be a long episode. I don't want to ramble on, but I'm going to go through the history of our league, why this league was created, and it's kind of got a cool backstory to it. And I'll tell you who the original members were and still are. There's a couple left. And why this league is destined for greatness, as it already has been. But man, we are just adding better and better managers to this league. First of all, super hard to mock draft right now, although it's fun. And I'm going to be doing my homework and due diligence because I'm pick 12, which is one of the hardest picks in the draft at the turn. I have to wait super long. It's nice to get back-to-back picks, but I need to reach for certain players that I believe in, and it's gonna look bad on draft day if I do have to reach, but there's no chance of them getting back to me, you know, more than 24 picks later. So some of the guys that we need to find teams could really help in the mock drafting, you know, portion of our journey here. That didn't make sense, but Kareem Hunt is one of them. He's only 27 years old. You know, crazy how his career started as the Kansas City Chiefs running back as a rookie, and the starter goes down in camp and he gets thrusted into the starting position. And if you remember how wild this was, it was the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe, against the New England Patriots. Week one, Kareem Hunt, rookie running back as the starter, first carry as a starter. Fumble, turnover, Patriots get the ball. Not a good start, but he went on to have an incredible rest of the game, became elite. He was, you know, on his way to win fantasy leagues that year, and was sought after the year after, but then he decided to kick a girl, a drunk girl in a hotel. I don't know what was going on, but kicked her and ended up, you know, getting signed with the Browns. And looks like time heals everything because guys like Tyreek Hill are still in the league and Deshaun Watson and obviously Kareem Hunt with that one incident. But all was forgiven, it seemed. And he kind of took a lesser role behind Nick Chubb, but he's only 27 years old and he has a skill set to be a three down workhorse back. I don't think that's a good idea to have him as your primary ball carrier, but any team who adds him, this is my point, is going to shake up that backfield. If he goes to Dallas, I'm not saying Tony Pollard isn't going to be valuable anymore, but Kareem Hunt is going to have a role. And what it does is he becomes that kind of the same role he had somewhat with Cleveland. He becomes not only a good flex play, but he's that lottery ticket player where if Tony Pollard can't handle the big workload as a smaller guy, Kareem Hunt, you know, could help win you a fantasy championship. Another guy, I won't get into every single guy in their whole backstory, but another guy is obviously DeAndre Hopkins. He could shake things up wherever he goes. I mean, come on. There's a wide range of outcomes for him. If he lands with the Tennessee Titans, not super exciting. You know, maybe a nice little fourth or fifth round pick in my estimation with Ryan Tannehill as his quarterback. If he goes to the Chiefs, I'm not saying I'd take him this high, but you know, back end of the second round is not out of the realm of possibility for him, because let's be honest, the Chiefs need a pass catcher besides Travis Kelce. All they keep doing is losing wide receivers and not gaining anybody. And if you want to put all your trust and eggs in one basket for Kadarius Toney, you go ahead. I'm probably going to steer clear of that. Not maybe not in fantasy, because he's being drafted at a value right now, but I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't believe they're going all in on Kadarius Toney as their wide receiver one. Another guy, obviously, Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette. So these are good running backs, you know, a little higher in age, but haven't hit that threshold yet of, like, you know, at the back end of their career. I still think Dalvin Cook has some juice. Obviously, Leonard Fournette is a touchdown machine. So wherever these guys land, it really could affect a backfield and how we draft, ADP, all that stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, if Leonard Fournette ends up with the Chiefs or something like that, for instance, yeah, I'm not going to be super high on Isaiah Pacheco. They almost have the same skill set, except Fournette is a premier pass catcher all of a sudden in the last couple of years. So, you know, it's hard to do some research and figure out these mock drafts. It's fun to do them. It's so funny that Josh has done that many. I mean, he's locked in, folks. So let's see if it pays off for him, Cotton, on draft day. So without further ado, let's get to a little story time. All right, so let's dive into the history of Marvel League. Back in 2015, we had our first child, my daughter Nina. And, you know, before then, I was, you know, maybe not a wild man, but I wasn't bored. Let's just put it that way. I was in multiple men's softball leagues, multiple basketball leagues. You know, my wife and I, you know, we're newly married, going out on weekends with our friends. You know, the typical thing you do when you're 26, 27, whatever, you know, however old I was. And, you know, we had our first daughter and stuff just slows down, right? So I ended up being real bored, getting real bored there. And I found this mobile game. It's so weird. I hate mobile games usually. But I found this game called Marvel Contest of Champions. It's still to this day one of the most in-depth games I've ever seen in any console. It's a fighting game with literally almost every Marvel character that has ever existed. I think they're still running the game now. It's well over like 180 characters, which is absolutely insane for a mobile game, each having their own move sets and everything like that. So, I mean, this is a game you play little times here and there. There's a pause button. It's offline. So, you know, long story short, that's the game that started the league, because I was in this thing called an alliance, and you're in a 30-person alliance, real people, and you guys work as a team and collaborate and beat these maps and blah, blah, blah. Super nerdy stuff, but I guess fantasy football is nerdy stuff. And long story short, we had a side chat, and I got to texting these guys and gals, and I wanted to start a league, and not a ton of people wanted to get in there. So we started off our first year 8-man league, no problem, just to kind of get our feet wet, see if I could add people later. So the first year was a little shaky. You know, I don't know these people. This was actually a free league. You know, it felt uncomfortable collecting money, and, you know, if someone doesn't pay, what am I going to do? I don't know these people. So we played for free, and something happened. There was a trade someone felt was uneven. I didn't feel that it was that uneven. You got to let some of this stuff play out. He wanted to veto. I said, as the commissioner, I said, hey, listen, it is what it is. You know, I don't think it hurts the balance of the league. We got to let it play out. He basically called me the worst commissioner in the world. This is in the middle of the season, and he decided to do the old, I'm out of here. And he dropped out of the league. He dropped every single player off his roster. Like, okay, buddy, like, I'm the league commissioner. I can just go ahead and put those players back on your team. So with that said, this already felt like this league was falling apart. Now I'm down to six players plus me as the seventh. And now I'm like, all right, well, I want to finish this out because the other people seem to be having fun. And I forgot who I got, but somebody filled in that guy's team for the rest of the season. It might have been Chris Roach, might have been Corrado, not sure. But somebody filled in for this guy, and we just finished the season out. The next year, I decided to kind of take the best of the best of those guys, which was only about five. I dropped the rest of them, and what I wanted to do is bump it up, not just from eight people in the league to 10. I wanted to go right to a legit 12-man team, and that's where I went ahead and started adding some of the original members. We're talking Taylor Benoit. We're talking Josh Benoit. We're talking Christopher Roach, Mike Corrado, and let's see here. Yeah, also Juan Torres. So these people stepped up to fill this league. And if you guys remember, we also had Erica Pelosi, another female that was actually pretty funny. She was a diehard Patriot fan. She had no idea how to play fantasy football. I tried to teach her, but all she did was draft Patriot players. And I'm not joking. Practically every player on her team, actually the first season she played, every single player on her team was a Patriot or used to be a Patriot. So she grabbed kickers that were used to be Patriots. She had players that were traded from the Patriots to other teams. And yeah, she went 3-10 that season. So that just goes to show you, don't stack all players from one team. But anyway, we ended up with the 12-man league, and we finished it out. That was Taylor and Josh's first ever year playing fantasy football. The infamous Josh trading Christian McCaffrey to Taylor for Duke Johnson. I'll never forget. I sent him a quick text questioning it, but I gotta, you know, you gotta let this stuff play out. I don't know if we even had money that second year in the league, so it's not like collusion was happening, because there was just no reason. And Josh actually ended the season in second place, 9-4. So it's not like he was, you know, losing the season and decided to help his wife out, or soon to be wife at that point. I think they were married. I don't know when they were married. Sorry, Josh and Taylor. I don't know. I don't remember. Your wedding was fun. But long story short, Josh has come a long way from knowing these trade values and player values. And Taylor won her very first championship year one. And I think that's when she got hooked. And just a year or two later, Josh Benoit has never stopped mock drafting. After that, I did end up really turning the league around, and I got rid of the other five players from that Marvel game. I stopped playing that game for a while, and I just didn't want these guys to dip out randomly. And that's when I also decided to move it to a money league. So the first 2 years of the league, the first year I won the league, second year Taylor won the league. That's when we added more of our legit managers here. We're talking Gage Aziz. We're talking Alicia, Elliot. These are staples. Henry, who is a past champion. And, it was just a more fun season. Again, 12 managers. I ended up taking that championship as well in 2018. That was year three. I followed it up with another championship in 2019. We had, I believe, all the same players. So, some familiarity was there, and took my third championship. And 2020 was the year of Mike Corrado, bathroom handjobs. He took the championship. And then 2021, Big Papa Pump, Henry Blethyn, takes the cash and leaves the league, which is so funny. No idea why he left the league, but he was a decent manager. He was, he kept up with the chat. Him and I still talk, on a weekly basis about sports on Instagram and stuff. So there was no rhyme or reason to why he left, but he did win the championship. And then, of course, last year with the unlikely victory over Alicia, who was 13-1, And that one loss was against me in the championship. So thank you to Chris and Taylor and Josh for being the original members of the Marvel Fantasy Football League. And I think we've only added better and better people and managers. And I do think that this is the best league that I play in, the most fun, the most interactive. There's other good leagues I play in with good competition. There's other leagues that are for more money. But in the totality of everything added up, this is by far the most fun league for me. So thanks for everything. And I can't wait to get going at the end of August. August 27th, we will be live. 1022 Stony Hill Road, Wilbraham, Massachusetts. Let's go. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you on the other side.